All right, tonight's shir is on Parshas Pinchas, which is this week's parsha, and the title of the shir is The Kiss of Death. And we'll be discussing in the Misa, the death of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam in specific. It's not really the focus of the parsha tonight, but there is a chazal and a rashi which seem to point us in that direction. So I thought it was an interesting area that we could explore and investigate and come to a greater understanding of what the difference between Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam's death is and everybody else. And also, the kiss of death, I actually looked up on Wikipedia, and apparently there's like 10 TV shows, 10 songs, 10 movies, all called The Kiss of Death. And they say that the origin of the phrase, the kiss of death, is from the New Testament. But I really think it's from Chazal. I think they stole it from Chazal. And we're going to see what the idea of the kiss of death is based on the Gemaras and Rashi, the Rishonim. So we're going to start with the first source in this week's Parsha. It's Pasuk Yud Beis, Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Yud Beis, and Bamidbar. I'm going to start. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, alei el har ha'avarim hazeh, or eyes ha'aretz asher nasati livnei Yisrael. So Hashem says to Moshe to go up to har ha'avarim, which some shita say is Har Nevo, the place where he died, and he wants him to look at the land in which he's giving to Klal Yisrael. And you will see it, and you will gather onto your people, which is a euphemism for death, just like Aaron died and gathered onto his brethren. And Yudalit, he says, Kasher Marisa and P Bamidbar Tzin Bamrivasa Idol Akdishina Bamaimlanihem He May Marivas Kadesh Midbar Tzin. And he tells him the reason why. The reason why Moshe won't go into Eretz Yisrael is because of the whole story of the rock and how he lost an opportunity to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim in front of Klal Yisrael. So we have these three psukim, which are telling Moshe the future, what's going to happen to him, how he's not going to go into Eretz Yisrael, and how he's going to die. So the interesting point that I want to focus this year on is in Yud Gimel. The end of Yud Gimel, it says, Kasher Nesaf Aaron Achicha, that Moshe will die just like Aaron died. So the question is, why is that significant? Why is it important to tell us, the Torah to hint to us, that Moshe's death was similar to Aaron's death, right? So if we look at number two, and we look at Rashi on the same Pasuk, he asks, or he mentions this, and he mentions an idea, a concept related to this point, and Racheli's going to read number two. So what's Rashi saying? It's telling you that Moshe desired the death of Aaron. So the reason why the Pasuk's telling us that Hashem promised Moshe that he would die like Aaron is because Moshe had this tremendous desire to die in the same way that Aaron died. Okay, what's the question on that? What question immediately arises?
Why?
Why, right. Racheli's asking a question. Why is it important, or why is it that Moshe desired this method of death so much? And what was so special about Aaron's death that Moshe had this, he was nisave, which is the lashon, the language of a strong drive, like a strong, intense desire. So why did he desire the same death as Aaron so much so? And furthermore, the factual question is, how did Aaron die? What was unique about his death as opposed to everybody else in the world? Right? So I think those are the two main questions on this Rashi. And that's how we're going to start out our shir and develop the idea. So we have to, the next step in investigating this type of death is to look at how Aaron died. So if we look at number three, Rashi points out, based on Parshas Chukos, which was a couple weeks ago, exactly how Aaron died. So we look at Rashi, it's Bamidbar Perek Chaf, Pasuk Chav Vav. It says, Es Bigadav. Es Bigde Kuhuna Gidola. Actually, Debbie, can you read, please? Because I know you're on the phone line. Read number three,
yeah.
If you have the sheet in front of you. It's okay.
Es Bigde Kuhuna Gidola. Kaldi
Shahu. Yeah. Okay, so part of Aaron's death was that he was wearing the Bigdei Kuhuna Gedola, and it was taken off of him and put onto his son Elazar. So that was one part of his death. Go on.
Amar lo hichnas menara v'nichnas.
So he said to him, go into the cave, and Aaron went into the cave.
Who said to him, his son?
I think Moshe.
Can I continue?
Yeah, go on. Actually, I think it's a reference to God. Racheli asked who's saying this. I think it's God saying this to Aaron. Okay, so he tells him to go into this cave, and he goes into the cave. Go on.
said, and you see the bed.
Good.
And there's still lit candles.
Okay, so in the cave, there's a bed with a lit candle. This is when before Aaron dies. Go on. He said to him, go into the bed, and he goes up into the bed. Okay, go on. Upashat. Spread out your arms, and he did so. So Aaron was following directions. Hashem tells him to spread out his arms. He spreads out his arms. Close your mouth, and he closed his mouth. Close your eyes, and he closed his eyes. Shenisa Visala. So immediately it says that Moshe, he desired this death, this type of death. As it says in the Pasuk in Devarim, Kasher Meis Aaron Achicha, just as Aaron had died, so too you will die. It's the Misa that you desire strongly. Okay, so what is... Yeah, very detailed. So that's one question. What's with the detail in Rashi? It's telling him to go into the cave. In the cave, there's a Ner Dalak. There's a lit candle. There's a made bed. And he's telling him all these instructions, how he has to lie down, open up his arms, spread them out, close his mouth, close his eyes, and then he dies. So what was so appealing about this death? That's the first question. What was so appealing about it? What do you think, just before we move on, what do you think was so appealing? Why did Moshe desire this death? Or what's unique about this death as opposed to other deaths?
Well, he knew he was going to die.
Okay. But let's say you get
so
sick.
He's having there's a certain amount of like knowledge that he's getting, like before he goes in, he knows that it's the end of his life.
I know, but let's say you get cancer and the doctor tells you that you're going to die. You know you're going to die. A person who gets sick knows he's going to die. So what's the difference between this method and getting sick?
This seems obviously, I don't know exactly what happened, but it seems more peaceful.
Okay, good.
And it's like step by step. It's very like, I don't know if I'm going to use the word natural. Like he's laying down, he's relaxed, he closes his eyes. It's very natural.
Okay.
No, I think it's the opposite. That normally when you die, the events of the death are like spontaneous. That your body like expires. Whereas here, it's like an active role of like expiring your body.
So you're saying it's worse. you wouldn't desire this death.
Active. It's like.
Racheli's arguing with you. She's saying it's more active and not peaceful. Why? Because you foresee your own death?
No, not necessarily. It's just that normally like the body expires on its own. Like different parts of the body like go on their own. It's like a...
Right. No, you're saying...
It's a natural thing.
Right,
here,
normally
the... person is like consciously making a decision to close his eyes, close his mouth, like to let himself go.
Right. So that is abnormal, but the question is like, why did Moshe desire this so much, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but look who's telling you to do all these things. Like,
right.
The level of trust. Like, God's telling you to do these things.
Right. Well, what's the purpose? The question is.
It's more peaceful. It's not the unknown. Like, God's saying, do this, do this, do this. And then the end, you'll be dead.
I agree with you that there's a certain peacefulness to this because you see there's a bed and you're lying down in the bed. But the question is, why did Moshe desire this so much? Was it just that he didn't want pain attached to his death? Like, he just wanted a peaceful death? Like, is that really, like, what Moshe was about as a person? I wouldn't say that Moshe was just a person who just tried to avoid pain in his life. I mean,
well,
he was...
Well, it also showed a certain relationship between Aaron and Hashem.
Okay.
Like, Aaron obviously had a certain trust in Hashem. He's going through all the steps without any doubt.
What would you do in that situation? God's telling you to go... What would you do in that situation? God's telling you to go into the cave and lie down. What, you're going to not trust God? He's speaking to you. He's telling you what to do.
But he could have hesitated.
Okay. All right.
But it says, he did it.
Okay,
he didn't ask questions. He just did it.
Right. Okay, that's a good point. I still want to understand why Moshe desired this death so much. If you just want to say because it was peaceful, like that's not satisfying to me. Because, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, he's not just a regular person. He's not just trying to avoid pain and have the most peaceful death. I think there must be some type of idea here, a deeper idea that Moshe is trying to, he sees in this death that's unique. So, but I agree with you that there is a certain peacefulness to this death, and we're going to try to understand that a little bit further. Okay? If we look at number
four... Another aspect of it is that it's directly mediated by God. It's like God is telling him, do this and do that and do the other thing, whereas in more regular death sort of happens.
Okay.
More natural.
Okay, good. So we're gonna get to that point. All right. So I agree with that also as well.
Would it be like a private thing or a public thing?
What, this death?
Yeah.
Well, this death was private. It was on Hor HaHar, and it was in a cave. But Moshe saw it, and Elazar saw it, and also Klal Yisrael learned about it through the Torah and through Chazal. So even though the actual death itself was private, but we know about it after the fact. You know, just like many things in the Torah. So now we know how he died, and we're supposed to gain some idea, some insight into the uniqueness of his death. So, okay, there's one more part to this. If we look at number 4, Rashi in Devarim also talks about Aaron's death, and he adds one more concept to the death. If you look at number 4, it's Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Gimel. He says, Kasher meis Aaron achicha, be'osa misa shera'isa v'chamata osa. So too, it's the same idea. Moshe will die with the same death that he saw and that he desired strongly. Shehifshit Moshe as Aaron beged rishon. So Moshe took off the first beged of Aaron, v'hilbishu le'Elazar, and then he clothed Elazar. V'chein sheni v'chein shlishi. He did that with all the clothing, all the big day kahuna. V'ra'a b'no b'chvodo. And he got to see his son in all his glory. And then it says, Amar lo Moshe Aaron achi. Oh, sorry, it was Moshe the Aaron. Achi ale lemita. So I was wrong, I'm sorry, I apologize. So it was really Moshe was the one who said to Aaron, my brother, go to the mita, the Allah, pashat yadecha upashat, pashat raglecha upashat, atzum einecha, v'atzum kamatz picha, v'kamatz v'halachlo. Amar Moshe, ashrei misha meis v'misa zu. Okay, Moshe was telling Aaron, so I apologize. Miriam, I know your point was that God was instructing, but it was Moshe, but I would assume that Moshe was also, this was through Nevuah, it wasn't just made up, that Moshe made this process up. But there is still an idea there, which we're going to take up. But also, another point that Rashi's mentioning is this idea that Aaron got to see his son in his full glory. It says, V'ra'a b'no b'chvoda. He doesn't mention that in the first Rashi, but in this Rashi he mentions that that's significant. That one of the aspects of his death was that before Aaron died, he got to see his son. Okay, so that's the full picture. So once again, the question arises, you know, why is that important? Why is it important about this process of death that Aaron got to see his son, Bechvodo, in all his glory? And why did Moshe, it's the same question, why did Moshe desire this death so much? Right? So is everybody clear? Are you clear on the facts? The facts are clear, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, one other point. Emily, can you read number 5? Emily, if you have the sheet in front of you.
No, I'm embarrassed. Sorry, can you see me for now?
Yeah, it's fine. Don't be embarrassed. All right. Number 5, Tamar. Can you read number 5?
I can't read right now.
Okay, fine. All right.
Thank you, Tamar.
Rachel is going to read, okay?
Al Hor HaHar, Al Pi Hashem, Vayam Hashem, Vishnat Har Baim, Latzi Pnei Shal Meretz Mitzrayim, Bechodesh HaHamishi, Be'achad L'chodesh.
Okay.
So Aaron HaKohen went to this mountain of mountains.
Yeah.
On the advice of Hashem, and he died there in the 40th year from the time when the Jews left Egypt, in the 5th month, on the 1st of the month.
Okay. So what? Look at Rashi number 6. He points out,
Al Pi Hashem.
Yeah.
Melamed Shemait Benishika.
So number 6, Rashi says, what does it mean, Al Pi Hashem, on the word or the mouth of Hashem? It means that he died with Nishika, which means a kiss. So God, when it says Al Pi Hashem, it means that God kissed Aaron, and that's how he died. So the question, what's the question? What is it? What's the question? Somebody asked the question on this piece. How could God kiss somebody, right?
Yeah.
How could God kiss somebody? God's not physical. He doesn't have lips. He doesn't have a mouth. So how could God kiss somebody to death? What does that even mean, to kiss somebody to death?
Also, this is not the way Rashi previously just described it.
Also, good question. Rashi doesn't even mention this before. He doesn't mention the idea of Nishika, the actual death itself. He only mentions the process before the death. But the Nishika he leaves out. So that's a good question. That's Rachel's question. But what is the main question also is, what is this idea of Nishika? What does it mean that God kisses somebody to death? Right? All right. It obviously doesn't mean in a literal sense, because that's impossible. So it must mean in a philosophical sense. So what is that philosophical idea? Okay? And then one last point before we start, you know, answering some of the questions, some of the points. If you look at number 7, interestingly enough, it says Vayavo bnei Yisrael kol ha'ida midbar tzin b'chodesh harishon vayeshev va'am bekadesh v'tamas sham Miriam v'tikaver sham. So we see in Chukas, Miriam also dies. And it says that she died in Midbar Tzin and she was buried there. And if we look at Rashi, number 8, on the very same Pasuk, it says, Vatama Sham Miriam, Af hi b'neshika mesa. She also died with a kiss. Umipne malo namar ba al pi Hashem. Why doesn't it say al pi Hashem by Miriam? She'enu derech kavod shalmala. It's not respectful to God. Uva Aaron namar al pi Hashem be'elem mase. With regard to Aaron, it does say al pi Hashem. And also with regard to Moshe, if you look at number 9, Vayamasha Moshe Ever Hashem Be'eretz Moav al pi Hashem. Number 10 in Rashi says al pi Hashem b'neshika. So what do we see? We see that Aaron, Miriam, and Moshe, they all died with this death, the kiss of death, this death of neshika. That somehow God, al pi Hashem, God kissed them, whatever that means, and they all died. Right? So another question that arises is what's unique about Aaron, Moshe, and Miriam? Why only these three individuals as opposed to the other individuals, like Avraham or Yitzchak and Yaakov? Only Miriam, at least we'll see according to the Rambam, only Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe died in this method. So why only them? And what is this method? What is Neshika? What does it mean that God kisses you to death? Right?
And is this what Moshe had been desiring?
Right.
From Aaron, or was it more the process of closing your eyes?
Right. Which part did Moshe desire more? Also, Rachel's question. Did Moshe desire the process, or did he desire the Neshika aspect? And what's the significance of the process? Just say that they died with Neshika. Why do you need the process and also the Neshika? Just say that he died with Neshika. Right? So let me just...
The process would be helpful for people that were witnessing it, whether it's their kids or in Moshe's case,
But they didn't witness it. But they didn't witness it. It was in private. They went up to the har. Moshe went up with Elazar and Aaron. They went up to the top of the mountain, and they went into a cave. So the people didn't really see what happened, you know?
I don't know what the Neshika really is, but maybe you need the steps for the person to be in a certain mindset to receive that last part.
Okay, good. Good. I like your thinking. Good thinking. All right.
Can I also just say one more thing? I don't know if we're...
No, you cannot.
Now or no?
Yeah, you can speculate. It's okay. Speculate.
Okay. When we were talking before about Aaron and his sons and how he, was happy to see his son, in all his glory, right, as, the next coin, I don't think it's, him getting his, personal satisfaction, necessarily as, a dad. I think, knowing that Am Yisrael is taken care of. There's someone that's stepping up to be the next coin.
Okay. All right.
You know what I mean? Which is, I think something that might be comforting for Moshe as well. When you're leading a group of people that you've taken, that you've taken care of for so long, to make sure they're in good hands before you leave. Feeling that sense of,
okay, I mean, that is important.
It's not a personal thing. It's not just a dad. It's not a selfish thing. It's, thinking about the people.
Okay. We'll register that point. It's recorded. Okay. No, it's a good point.
Recorded where?
On tape.
Okay.
That was Debbie Schwartz, by the way, for everybody on the phone lines and the tape with that idea, that concept. So that's a good concept. But the main thing I want some ideas on is Neshika, right? What is the idea of Neshika? How is it possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could kiss a human being? And furthermore, why did Moshe desire both the process as well as the actual death itself? You know, what was so distinct about the death, right? Before we move on, what is Neshika? At least let's have a direction to go in before we look at the Rambam and we look at some Gemaras. What is Neshika, the idea of Neshika? What's the concept, the basic concept of Neshika, of a kiss?
Maybe it's it's trying to demonstrate a certain closeness that exists when a person is connected to Hashem from what happened in their lifetime, having learned and having gotten to a high level. And
okay.
So then when they die, there's a relationship between the person and Hashem, so to speak.
Okay.
That doesn't really exist in someone who is not really a receptacle for Torah knowledge and then just their body is dead and it decomposes and it's over. But when you have a person who really, like, works on themselves and becomes close to Hashem in their lifetime, like, develops themselves in their lifetime, then when they die, it's, like, the ultimate, like, relationship, so to speak, that a person could have with Hashem. So the word Neshika is supposed to show how the death is, like, a... It's, like, an experience of... it's, like, a positive or, like, a... Like, that there is a relationship there.
All right, so Racheli's saying that Neshika is an expression of a connection. When it's a connection, and it's demonstrating that these individuals had a connection, a stronger connection, right, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their death?
Yeah, like, it's like people who are going to have Olam Haba. Like, they...
Yeah, I know, but everybody gets Olam Haba. Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek L'Olam Haba,
right? I know,
right?
But some people are... They have such, let's say, limited understanding of Hashem, knowledge of God. Their Olam Haba is much different than a person who...
Yeah, okay.
...has, like... built themselves into, like, a real scholar and a person who knows Hashem and who...
Okay, so Racheli's saying there's a difference between the Olam Haba of Tzaddik, like Moshe and Aaron and Miriam and other people. And because of that difference, the idea of Neshika is tied to demonstrating a certain closeness with God in death. Right?
Yeah, I mean, affection would be, you know, this sort of, like, physical way of expressing it, but... Connection, yeah.
Okay, connection, okay. But what is Neshika? Neshika is connection. It's also an expression of what? When a person kisses another person, what's an expression?
Love.
Love, good, right. So I would say Neshika is closeness, but it's also a closeness that's tied to a certain love, right? Most people, when they kiss other people, it's a demonstration of a certain love that they have for the other person. Okay, so we're going to...
It's not like he sucked the life out of him and he died. And it was like a goodbye, but it was sort of like kissing him as if it was welcoming him to the next stage. It doesn't seem so much like this terrible ending, but more like a welcome or something.
Right, okay. All right, so we're going to... So I like the possibilities being thrown out there. We're going to just do the Gemara on the idea, or at least one concept about Neshika, about this method of death. So if we look at number 11, excuse me, the Gemara is Maseches Brachos, Daf Ches Amud Aleph. And the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hachi, there is a Braisa that is like this, Tishame Os Ushlosha Mine Misa Nivru Ba'olam. There's 903 types of death, methods of death that were created in this world, Shenamar, Lamaves Totsaos. There are many avenues to death. Totsaos Begematria Hachi Havu. So the word Totsaos is equal to 903. Kasha Shibakulon Askara. The worst type of death that you could possibly get is something called askara. And nicha shebekulan, the easiest death is neshika. The best death is neshika, the worst death is askara. What does it mean? Askara damya kechizra begavava de'amra de'la'achori nashra. So it's similar to that. And v'ika de'amri kefiture befi veshet. We're going to explain what that means. And neshika damya kemishachal benisa mechelba. And Neshika is similar to something else. So let's look at Rashi on the next page, just to understand what the analogy is. The analogy, if we look at the top of Rashi, number 12, Kechizra begavava da'amra da'alachur nishra, ke'anfe asirim ha'nizvachim begizas hatzemer, kesha'adam nosek bechazaka umashlich la'achar shi'ef sharshlo yinosek hatzemer ima. So what's askara like? It's like a ball of wool. And if you have needles or thorns with branches of thorns in the wool, when you rip out the branches with the thorns, you also take out the wool with it. So that's what it's comparing askara to. And another possibility is kifiture bifi veshet. Yamo kainas yeshbo makomo she'eno mekabo barzel, if you look at the next Rashi. U'mechabrin luche asfina yidei chavalim ba'akalem shen tochvem minakava v'tokin oso b'docha klifishem gasen kemidas hanekev. So what is that? They used to take ropes, and they would pull the ropes through holes. And if the hole is the same size as the rope, it's very hard to pull the rope through. So that's what askara is like, or askara. It's like that feeling of friction between the rope and the hole when you're trying to pull the rope through, a thick rope. And what about neshika? So Rashi says over there, neshika, if you look at the very last Rashi, number 12, kemishachal benisa mechelba, kemoshech nimaseh mitoch hachalof. So neshika is like taking a hair out of a bowl of milk. So if you have a stray hair in milk, So Nishika, the death of Nishika is comparable to that, to removing the hair, being Moshechet, removing the hair from the challah, from the milk. Right? So I don't really want to focus on Askara, but I more want to focus on Nishika. It's an interesting analogy of Nishika, that what is Nishika compared to? It's compared to removing a hair from milk. So why is it compared to that? But before we get to that point, what is this, an interesting concept in the Gemara right before is, what's the idea that there's 903 deaths in this world? Is that really true? I mean, I think there's like a show on TV, A Thousand Ways to Die, right? There's a show, A Thousand Ways to Die. So is it really true that there are 903 methods of death? And also, what's the significance of that concept? Why does it have to be that there's a fixed number of deaths or methods of death? Why can it just be that? Why does the Torah have to tell us that? What's the significance, according to this Gemara, of there being a fixed amount of deaths? Right? So that's the first question. So a thought I was thinking of, and I...
Also, how could that be true?
All right, so also, how could that be true? So there's one possibility, just how could that be true? It could be the Gemara is talking about in categories of death. It's true that there's particulars in terms of death, but there's also general categories. Just like in Torah, we have by the Malachos. You have the broader categories, and you have the particulars. And there's an infinite amount of particulars. But it could be the Gemara is referring to categories of death, that there's 903 categories of death. But what exactly is the point of that? You know, why does it have to be a fixed number? So just a side point, this isn't the main area, but a side point, it could be the idea is that most people think that death itself is what we focus on, but apparently there's a design to the method of death, to the different methods of death. Why would there be a design to the different methods of death? Meaning there's significance to the fact that a person dies by falling out of a tree, or that a person dies with an airplane crash, or a person dies drowning. What's the idea of that? Why is there significance? Because death is really part of the system of Schar V'Onesh, right? Part of the idea of death is that it fits a certain onus, a certain flaw that a person has. It's a punishment that fits the flaw. So there's a significance to the design of death, in that sometimes the design of the death teaches you as to what the person really deserved and what their flaw was. So maybe the person himself can't understand it, you know, why they got sick. But the sickness, the method of death is particular to the person's state and to what the person deserves. So perhaps that's the idea of a fixed number of deaths. It's trying to tell you that it's not just haphazard or random, but there's actually a design in terms of different methods of death. And the reason why there's a design is because death happens to fit various flaws that a person has. If a person has a certain type of flaw, it could be appropriate for them to die in a certain way. Okay, but I think that's the broader idea. But what about the idea of Nishika? What's the analogy of Nishika to drawing a hair out of milk? So anybody want to try a possibility? Debbie, you've been very active on the phone line.
I'm thinking.
All right. No pressure. Emily?
Are you saying that drawing a hair out of milk, besides that it's totally grossing me out to eat cereal now, is the hard thing or easier thing?
I think it's the easiest. It's nichash b'kul. And the easiest death is nishika, is this kiss. The kiss by God, of God, so to speak, to individuals. And it's comparing it to drawing a hair out of milk. So why is it compared to that? Emily.
Oh, no, I just wasn't sure if, like, getting a hair out of milk is an easy task or a hard task. But I guess an easy task.
Yeah, so it's an easy task, right? It's relatively, as opposed to drawing thorns out of wool, you don't really take the thorns, you know, with the... Right? You don't take the... Over here, you don't take the milk with the hair, right? But what's the...
When you stick your finger in a bowl of milk, the hair just kind of clings to you.
It clings to you, but the milk doesn't cling to it. What's the body and what's the soul here? Let's just start with that. What's the body and what's the soul in this analogy?
Body is the milk.
And what's the soul?
The hair.
Okay, good. All right, so the idea is that, right, and it's relatively... The body doesn't cling to the soul, right? When the soul departs. When the hair is taken out of milk, you don't really have it sticking to the hair, as opposed to the other case with the wool, where you take the thorns out and the wool sticks to the thorns over here by the hair. When you take the hair out, the body doesn't stick to the hair.
Does that make it less painful for the person?
Yeah, it's I would say it's an easier, a smoother transition, right? Would you agree with that? Can I prove that? the Gemara, I mean, if you accept the Gemara and the Torah Shabbat is true, then it's proof, right?
Uh-huh.
That's a separate discussion, Tamar. But aside from that, so what's the analogy? The analogy seems to be that there's a certain smoothness to the process of the death. Just like when you take the hair out of the milk, the body doesn't cling to the hair, which is the soul. So too, there's a clean break when you take the soul from the body, right? And just like the milk doesn't stick to the hair, so too the body doesn't stick to the soul. It's a smooth transition, right?
But can't that be true of any death, not only one with Nishika involved?
Yeah, but Nishika seems to be the smoothest transition, right? It's the smoothest, because the Gemara says there's many deaths, there's 903 methods of death, and the worst one is Askara, which is like a suffocation type of death, and the easiest one is Nishika. So what makes it the easiest? So the Gemara is saying there's a certain smoothness to the transition by Nishika that doesn't exist by other deaths. It's the smoothest type of death, right? Also, what do you see? Another point. Usually, and typically, hairs are usually black, right? I mean, some people have blonde hair, gray hair, but milk is typically white. So one idea you see is that there's a certain contrast in the milk to the hair, right? That the hair is darker and the milk is white. So that's another reason why it's easier to take a hair out of milk, because there's a greater distinction between milk and a hair as opposed to thorns that are stuck in the wool. Meaning to say that the body and the soul are somewhat distinct, right? In the hair-milk analogy. There's a certain distinction between the hair and the milk, and that's what makes it easier to take the hair out, as opposed to the thorns, which is encased in the, inside the wool, and when you rip it out, they're tied together, whereas by the milk and the hair, usually a hair floats on the top, and it's usually contrasted in color between the milk which is white, and the hair which is dark. So the idea, another idea of Nishika is that the person prior to Nishika is in a state where there's a certain differentiation between the soul and the body. And that's why I think milk and hair is used, because milk is white and hairs are typically dark. Although when I was discussing this with my brother, he's like, what about my hair? It's gray or white. But typically hair is typically dark, and there's usually a contrast between hair and milk, right? So that's another idea. So let's just get to the core concept, which is in the Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam's famous philosophical work, and I put in the English to make it easier to read. It's a very fascinating Rambam, and he describes what Nishika is, and with this Rambam, we can answer all the other questions, hopefully, and have like a deeper understanding of what this type of death is by Moshe, Miriam, and Aharon. So I'm going to read inside, number 13, and the Rambam, in the English, it's on page 391. I don't have the chapter here. I think it's chapter 53 in the third Chelek. The philosophers have already explained how the bodily forces of man in his youth prevent the development of moral principles. In a greater measure, this is the case as regards the purity of thought which man attains through the perfection of those ideas that lead him to an intense love of God. I'm going to explain it after I read. Man can by no means attain this so long as his bodily humors are hot. The more the forces of his body are weakened and the fire of passion quenched, in the same measure does man's intellect increase in strength and light, his knowledge becomes pure, and he is happy with his knowledge. What does that mean? I think what the Rambam is saying is that when a person's younger, they're driven, their drives, meaning their instinctual drives, drive them away from their knowledge and their ability to gain knowledge and love of God, an intense love of God, because they're driven in different directions. But as a person gets older and their drives get weaker, which we normally see by both men and women, so their drives for the instinctual get weaker, so also their intellects get stronger because they don't have as much resistance to their intellects, to their minds, and their ability to perceive God and to search and seek God and with this intense love of God. So there's a natural progression in life that as a person gets older, it should be easier for them to understand God and to desire God and to seek out God in terms of their knowledge and using their chachma, right? Does everybody agree with that point? Okay. And is that clear, the point? Racheli is shaking her head yes, so I'm going to go with yes. Okay, so that's step one. So the first idea that the Rambam is mentioning is that as a person gets older, it's easier for them to seek out God and to perceive God and gain knowledge of God, which is an expression of love of God. When this perfect man is stricken in age and is near death, so when a perfect man, when a person who is in that state where they're seeking out God and they're seeking out knowledge of God, his knowledge mightily increases. His joy in that knowledge grows greater, and his love for the object of his knowledge more intense. And it is in this great delight that the soul separates from the body. So as the person gets closer to death, their knowledge gets stronger, and their love of God gets stronger, because they have less body, they have less distraction from the body, because their drives can become weaker and weaker, and their body becomes weaker and weaker, and their soul and their mind become stronger and stronger, and their desire to know God becomes stronger and stronger. To this state, our sages referred when in reference to the death of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. They said that the death was in these three cases nothing but a kiss. The Rambam's talking about Neshika here. They say thus, we learn from the words, and Moshe, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab by the mouth of the Lord, and his death was a kiss. The same expression is used of Aaron, and Aaron the priest went up into Mount Hor by the mouth of the Lord and died there. Our sages said the same was the case with Miriam, but the phrase by the mouth of the Lord is not employed because it was not considered appropriate to use these words in the description of her death, as she was female. So he's mentioning this idea of Neshika that we pointed out, that it applies to Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, and it wasn't mentioned explicitly by Miriam because it's inappropriate to reference this idea of kissing of God to Miriam, even though it's not literal. Okay? The meaning of the saying is that these three died in the midst of the pleasure derived from the knowledge of God and their great love for him. So what does this mean? It means that as they died, they were in a state of pleasure derived from their knowledge of God, meaning the more knowledge a person gains about God, the more pleasurable it is. There's a certain pleasure to knowledge, and they died in that state, in the state of pleasure. Okay? When our sages figuratively call the knowledge of God united with intense love for him a kiss, so when they call it a neshika, they follow the well-known poetical diction, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, which is from Shir HaShirim. This kind of death, which is in truth, is deliverance from death. So this death, which is taken from death, a person's taken from death, has been ascribed by our sages to none but to Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Only Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. The other prophets and pious men are beneath that degree. They're all beneath Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, meaning even Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were beneath Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, according to the Rambam. But their knowledge of God is strengthened when death approaches. But like Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, even Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, as they get closer to death, they know more about God because their body becomes weaker and weaker. Of them, Scripture says, "Thy righteousness shall go before thee, the glory of the God shall be thy reward." The intellect of these men remains then constantly in the same condition, since the obstacle is removed that at times has intervened between the intellect and the object of its actions. So the soul of the righteous person remains in the same state. It continues forever in that great delight, which is not like bodily pleasure. So the soul remains in this great pleasure, which the Rambam ties to knowledge of God, which is extremely pleasurable. We have explained this in our work, and others have explained it before us. And then this is an interesting paragraph just before. Try to understand this chapter. Endeavor with all your might to spend more and more time in communion with God or in an attempt to approach him. So you should spend your time trying to become closer to God and to reduce the hours which you spend in other occupations, and during which you are not striving to come nearer onto him. This instruction suffices for the object of this treatise. Okay? This is why I don't want to work tomorrow. The Rambam's saying you have to be involved and endeavor in trying to know God to the best of your ability. But let's go back to the idea of Neshika. He's saying that the idea of Neshika is that Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam died in a certain pleasure, in a state of pleasure that they got from the knowledge of God, as opposed to the other tzaddikim in the world, which are different, in that they still gained more knowledge of God as they got closer to death, but they weren't in the same state of pleasure that Moshe and Aaron and Miriam were in. And the interesting concept that we have to explain in the Rambam is he says, which in truth is deliverance from death. He says, this kind of death, which in truth is deliverance from death, has been ascribed by our sages to none but to Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. What does that mean? What does it mean that this kind of death is deliverance from death? And how is the Rambam, how can we define the Rambam's difference between Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam and all the other sages? What was unique about their death that didn't exist by Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam? According to the Rambam, what the Rambam is saying. Because in both cases, as death approaches, the person who's the scholar, who seeks out knowledge of God, he's able to gain more and more ideas and more insight into God because his body becomes weaker and weaker, And but there seems to be some difference between Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam as opposed to the others. So I want to understand exactly what the Rambam is saying and what he means that in truth it's deliverance from death. What does that mean? In truth, this type of death is deliverance from death. What exactly is the difference?
Well, it's certainly deliverance from like the normal just deterioration and lack of anything afterwards.
Okay.
That most deaths are.
What do you mean lack of anything afterwards?
Like, it's deliverance insofar as like there's the continuation, so to speak, of like.
But everybody's soul continues. He even says that. He says by other people. He says even by the other pious people. The intellect of these men remains then constantly in the same condition since the obstacle is removed and at times has intervened between the intellect and the object of its action. So he's saying that basically the person's soul remains in the same state as it is in its fullest perfection. It continues forever in that great delight, which is not like bodily pleasure. So he says that exists by all tzaddikim, righteous people. By all people, the soul after death exists in a state of pleasure, the pleasure of the soul. And that pleasure is attached to a certain insight and perception of God, understanding of God. But what is different about Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam as opposed to the other people, which is really the main idea of tonight's shiur, this concept of Neshika, that the Rambam is getting it. And maybe we can understand the other concepts as well. Right? Does anybody want to try? Just before...
Something like the extent of the pleasure that they had.
Okay, good.
So right. How much most people don't good. Find death to be like a pleasurable experience, but...
Okay, good. Good, I like that. It's a good approach. Racheli's hyping is focusing on the pleasure aspect. So here's what the idea is, I think. It's tied to what Racheli's saying. Okay, unless anybody wants to stop me. Last chance. All right. So I think what the Rambam is saying about Neshika, what is Neshika? You see, as the Rambam says, as a person gets closer to death, their soul and their intellect become stronger and stronger, and their desire for God becomes stronger and stronger, and they're able to perceive God on a higher level. But the thing is that as long as a person is connected to their body, there is always something preventing them from getting that pure pleasure of the soul, right? The pure pleasure of the soul that the soul gets in Olam Haba. A person can't get that in this world because they're connected to their body, and the body prevents the soul from getting that pleasure to a certain degree. And that's what he means. He means that initially it's stronger. The body is opposed to the soul when a person's younger in a stronger way, and as they get older and the body weakens, the soul gets the upper hand. But still, as long as a person's attached to the body, the soul is attached to the body, it can't gain the same pleasure, the same knowledge that it could when it's detached from the body. So what was unique about Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam? See, I think what the Rambam is saying in this paragraph is that the Rambam is saying that Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam experienced the pleasure of death before dying. How is that possible? You see, death is really the separation of the soul from the body. And by most people, the older they get and the closer to death, the more their soul becomes separated from the body. And then death is the point where there's a complete separation. But by Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, they achieved the separation prior, meaning the conceptual separation prior to their death. And what do you see? What is that idea? That idea is that they achieved the pleasure of the soul. Meaning the pleasure that the soul receives in Olam Haba, they received it even right before their death. So the idea the Rambam says, when in truth is deliverance from death, what does that mean it's deliverance from death? That they were in the state of death, in the pleasure of the soul, that the soul gets of death, even prior to their death. So the transition into death was completely smooth. So even as they were getting closer and closer to death, the soul was so separated from the body, even though technically it was connected, but it was so separate that they were able to achieve the pleasure of the soul of death even in their lifetime. And right before their death, that's when they achieved it, and their transition to death was completely smooth. Meaning, even before the complete separation of their soul from the body, they were able to achieve the joy and the pleasure of the soul that the soul achieves in death. So I think that's what what's so perplexing about the Rambam is when he says, which in truth is deliverance from death. What does it mean it's deliverance from death? Because they were in the state of death, even prior to their death. They achieved the pleasure of the soul that the soul achieves in death, even before they died, even before their soul was officially separated from their body. They were able to achieve such a high degree of separation. That was the uniqueness of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Okay? With that idea, is that idea clear or should I explain it again? Anybody? Is that clear? Okay. As opposed to other righteous men, where he's saying that other righteous men achieve a certain insight into God, but they're unable to achieve that pleasure, the pleasure of the soul that the soul gets until after death. Only until their soul is officially separated from their body can they achieve that pleasure. But Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, they on their own were able, because of their intense desire for knowledge of God and their incredible soul, they were able to separate from their body, even in their lifetime, by themselves, and achieve the state of death, achieve that the pleasure of death, the pleasure of Olam Haba, prior to God actually doing so, and their soul actually being separated from the body.
Were they only able to achieve that with God's help? Not a human being could achieve without God's help?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think they were able to achieve it without God's help. It was a testament to their incredible perfection that they were able to, their bodies were almost meaningless to them at the right before death. That's why I think Nishika is the smoothest death. Now we're going to go back to the ideas in the Rashis. I think the idea is tied to what you said, Debbie, earlier, that the idea of all this whole thing of going into the cave and lying down and spreading your arms, all of it is a preparation, it seems like, to put the person in a certain state of mind, right? Why? Because the whole idea, at least according to the Rambam of Nishika, is that a person has to be in the clearest state of mind and has the clearest soul in order to achieve the death of Nishika. So the whole method of the Ma'ara, of going into the cave and lying down and closing the eyes, it's all a method of relaxing the person, putting a person or giving them the ability to achieve that height, the height of the pleasure of the soul, which is what we refer to as Nishika. So the reason why Moshe was Nisaveh wasn't because of the process, but it was for both. He recognized the value of the process, that the process was necessary to put you into the state of mind of achieving that state of Nishika. But he also desired Nishika. Why did he desire Nishika? Because the object of Moshe's desires was knowledge of God. So any person who desires knowledge of God and who loves God intensely and loves knowledge of God intensely, they'll want that death. They'll want the death of Nishika because they'll want to achieve that level as soon as possible, as soon as they possibly can. So that's why Moshe had such a strong drive for this type of death, the death of Aaron. Not because he wanted to avoid pain and he just wanted peacefulness. No, it's because he wanted to achieve that state, the state of the soul, that the pleasure of the soul that only he and Aaron and Miriam were able to attain. That's what he wanted. So he recognized the value of all the steps prior to achieving that, right? And now that also fits into the Gemara. Why does the Gemara say that Nishika is the smoothest type of death? Because, like I said before, milk is white and a hair is usually dark. It's reflective of the fact that the soul is almost completely separate from the body right before the state of Nishika. So they were able to put themselves in that state prior to their death, and the death itself was merely a transition. It wasn't really, there was nothing to it. It was a natural transition, a smooth transition from life to death. So that was the uniqueness of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Okay? Does anybody have questions? Somebody was going to ask a question I heard on the phone line. Does that idea make sense?
No question, but it's so funny because usually when people use the term kiss of death, it has like a slowly negative connotation.
Oh, okay. All right, so so we see that it's really positive. It's really the highest level, the highest type of death is Nishika. The ability of man to achieve the separation of the soul from the body, even prior to death, is what Nishika is. And Nishika is the transition from that state into death itself. Only Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam were able to achieve that. But so yes, it is a positive thing. It's not a negative thing. Okay? And one last point, just to brush up on our Yesodos, on our concepts. What is Avas Hashem? Because we said that Nishika is tied to Avas Hashem. So we look at the Rambam. This is a classic Rambam. In Yesodei HaTorah, Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph and Beis, he says, Hakel anichbad vanora hazem mitzvah la'ahavo oliyira ososh ne'mar v'hafta as Hashem elokecha v'ne'mar as Hashem elokecha tira. So there's a mitzvah to love Hashem and to fear Hashem. And the Rambam elucidates how we go about doing that. V'heichi aderech la'ahavaso v'yiraso. How do you love Hashem? How is it possible? What method should you use? B'shashi zbonin ha'adam b'masav uvruav ha'neflam ha'gedolim v'yira mehen chachmaso. So when a person recognizes and understands God's actions and this and the wondrous nature of his creations, v'yir mehen chachmaso, and he sees the wisdom, she'ein la erech v'lo ketz, there's no end to it, it's infinite, miyad hu ohev u'mishabeach u'mefar u'misave tava gedola leida Hashem agadol. K'mosh amar David, sama nafshi le'elokim l'kel chai. Immediately, he loves and he praises and he desires with a strong desire to know God. As David said, sama nafshi le'elokim l'kel chai. My soul thirsts for God. So that's the idea. The Rambam's idea of Ava is tied to knowledge. He's saying that when a person recognizes the infinite wisdom in creation of God's works, it should lead a person to a desire, a natural desire to gain more knowledge and to gain more insight into God. And there's a pleasure in gaining that knowledge. The more knowledge a person gains, the more pleasurable it is. So that's the idea of Avas Hashem, and it fits into the concept of Neshika, because Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron and Miriam, their desire for that knowledge was the strongest of any individuals. That's why they were able to achieve the zchus, the merit of dying in this method. And they were able to achieve the pleasure of death before death. As the Rambam says, that the Neshika is a deliverance from death. It's a removal from death. Okay, so that's really the idea that I want to focus on tonight, for tonight's shiur. So I just want to review the idea, the main points in the shiur. Unless anybody has questions at this point?
No question.
Yes. So, Racheli has a question for the people on the phone line.
Are we explaining now the whole process point? Of
process.
Like how there was this whole process with Aaron.
Oh, so I'm saying the whole idea of the process is that it was necessary to put the person in a certain state of mind. And this, like my sister said, Debbie, that there's a certain peacefulness to this. What's the idea of the peacefulness about it? That a person's lying in the bed and their arms are outstretched, and even seeing their son, even Aaron seeing his son, Bechvodo, the whole thing is to make the person's mind relaxed so that they can achieve that state. So the purpose, the idea of the process is to put the person in the state where they can achieve that level of knowledge and that level of pleasure. So like, if you're just standing up and you can't achieve that, you need to put your body in a state of relaxation in order to achieve that. Almost like the Nevi'im. The Rambam talks about the Nevi'im, how they used to get into a relaxed state and they would play music. So this is kind of similar in the sense that the process was necessary to put Aaron, Miriam, and Moshe in that state prior to achieving the Neshika, that level. Okay? So just to review the shiur of tonight, which on Parshas Pinchas, we were talking about the nature of the kiss of death, which is Misas Neshika, dying through this idea of Neshika. And we discussed the process of Neshika, which is where Aaron had to go into this cave. After he saw his son, he went into this cave, and he was instructed to lie down, spread out his arms, close his eyes, close his mouth. And we're told that Moshe desired this death, and Moshe was promised this death by God. So one of the main questions was, what was so appealing about this death? Why did Moshe desire this death so much? And another idea is Al Pi Hashem, that we see it's called Neshika. So why do we call it Neshika? How is it possible that a person could die with God kissing them? It's impossible. It's impossible that God could actually kiss, because God doesn't have lips or a mouth. He's non-physical. So what exactly is the idea conveyed by the kiss of death? And then we saw this Gemara, which compares this death to drawing out hair from milk. So what is that idea? So the main concept of the shiur is the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, where he discusses the ability of the soul to separate from the body. And as the person gets older, they're able to perceive God on a higher level and gain knowledge of God. And the uniqueness of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, which is why it's called Neshika, is that they were able to achieve a certain pleasure of knowledge, even though they were still alive and their souls hadn't departed yet. They were able to achieve the pleasure of death prior to death. And the Rambam is saying that their deliverance from that state was a smooth transition, which is tied into this idea of Neshika, as opposed to other Chachamim, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, for example, where according to the Rambam, they didn't achieve that pleasure of the soul. Their death was a real transition from life to death. Whereas by Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, their soul was so separate from the body, even though they were still alive, that the transition was smooth. And then we just brushed up on our points, which is that the Rambam says that Avas Hashem is tied to knowledge, and the more a person recognizes the infinite wisdom of creation, the more a person will naturally drive and desire to love Hashem. I think the reason why it's called Ahava, I think the Rambam mentions in another place, is because when a person's in love, they're constantly thinking about their love object, and they want to be with the love object. So the idea of Ahavas Hashem is that when a person recognizes and perceives the infinite wisdom of God, they're constantly engaged in it, and they want to be involved in it as much as possible, and it drives them to potentially this level, the level of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, where they can even achieve this in their lifetime, which was the uniqueness of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. So if anybody has any questions on tonight's share, the share's over officially now. Anybody have questions? I hope the idea was clear.
Okay.
All right. So everybody, have a good Shabbos. Thanks for calling in, and next week. Okay?
Good. Thank you.